They laid the foundation for the leadings of God, and yesterday we built upon that foundation. And we said, how does God lead? God leads by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as we study your word, speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. We said, God leads by the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit lead? So, God leads by the Holy Spirit. So, how does that Holy Spirit of God lead us, right? We said, the first way he leads us is by the written word. And please, go back and listen to that teaching. The written word. Say after me, the written word. Now, the next way the Holy Spirit leads us after the written word is what we have called, or we call, the inward witness. Say after me, the inward witness. So, when the written word is strong and established in the life of a believer, the leading of the Spirit goes deeper into what we can call the inward witness. This is the second pillar upon which supernatural direction works. But you see, we must teach. We must study the Bible. We must, because, listen, without the food of the scripture, you don't have a ministry. The Bible says he that wants to serve in the office of a bishop must be apt to teach. Meaning you must be able to feed the flock. Paul would tell the disciples and the apostles before leaving them, he says, make sure you feed the flock of God that is among you. Let me tell you the truth. No matter what you receive from me as a pastor, if you don't receive my teaching ministry, you have not received our ministry. That's why, see, there are some people that I don't take serious. There are people that in this ministry we prayed for, they've had contracts, open doors, all those things. As long as you are not a student of the word of God, I don't take you serious. You are not serious. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, receive the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the inward witness, say after me, the inward witness. Sometimes it's called the inward knowing or perception. Or inward perception. Inward knowing or inward perception. Now, this is the most accurate way God leads after the written word. Are you with me? The inward witness is the most accurate way God leads outside the written word or after the written word. The reason I want to teach this is because there are certain things in your destiny. Remember where we are coming from, blueprint. There are certain things in your destiny that if you don't understand this, you will never ever fulfill. And it's not a curse. It's just what it is. Because, listen, there are many things that no matter how we teach, only you, for instance, no matter what you teach about choosing a life partner, nobody will choose a life partner for you. Even when everything is right on your checklist, you know what makes choosing marital partners difficult? Do you know what makes it difficult? A person that is right today may be wrong tomorrow. You may never have heard me say this. A person can be right today and wrong tomorrow. That's why it's difficult. So, how will you make a choice that will be relevant today, tomorrow, next tomorrow, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? I've heard him share the story so I can share it openly too. The great man of God, Mike Mudock. Who knows that man of God? Great man of God all over the world. God gave him a special ministry to teach the world about wisdom. He said, he was talking to ministers. He said that young people, before you make a choice in marriage or a major choice in life, make sure you fast and pray. I'm not just talking about you fast one day. Fast, prolonged, and pray. Then he was giving his own personal story. Now, what happened? He was in Bible school. So those days, many, many years ago, about 50 to 70 years ago. Those days, when people want to go into ministry, they go to Bible school first.
and a theological institute must train them and approve them. Are you with me? And so, he was in Bible school, military school, and he met this lady. And they both fell in love. You know the kind of love that you meet once and it's like, it's packed from day one. Pie! And they both fell in love. And started dating and everything. They were saying, we cannot wait to finish this Bible school, get married, and go into ministry together. Doesn't that look like a perfect union? Sent from God for the work of God. Guess what? So, they were sure we're going to marry each other. And they went to meet the elders of the church, of the Bible school. The Bible school. So, they were old elders, elderly men, and told them, we want to get married. He said, beautiful girl, great young man, you guys look perfect together, but give us 2 weeks. We want to fast and pray. Now, there are pros and cons to this. Some people have taken this too far to say, it's your pastor that must choose for you. I didn't say that. Are you with me? That's why you have the Holy Spirit too. So when, see, okay, let me finish my story, then I will explain that. And so, after 2 weeks of fasting and praying, the elders called them and sat them down and said, we are not against two of you getting married, but you guys should take that some time and pray. Some things are not just clear. Did you hear what I just said? Say, take out some time and pray. Mike Murdoch said, the two of them got angry and said, we can't take this. They stood up out and walked out on the elders and said, enough. They left there, went somewhere else, met some pastors that wedded them. They got married. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Mike Murdoch said he was not going to take no for an answer. You know, the faith jargon. And then they got married. 7 years into their wedding, the first 7 years, in his words, the first 7 years was heaven on earth. That sometimes they would sit and look at themselves and say, what was wrong with those elders? Like, couldn't those elders see the future? That many times they sat down and actually mocked those elders. God blessed him, blessed the ministry. Do you know what he meant? That as far back as late 1980s, Mike Murdoch already had a house in 7 acres of land. Like his own personal property. God had blessed them. So many things had happened. So every night they looked at themselves and said, well, don't mind those people. After their 8-year anniversary, he woke up one morning, no quarrel, no fights, no misunderstanding. Woke up one morning and discovered that his wife put a note for him. I am gone. Equal amount of kupaya. Woke up one morning, did not see his wife, did not see his children till today. Till today, as we are speaking. In his words, he said, ever since that time till today, 50 years since that time, he has not been able to remarry. He has tried everything. What people saw in 2 weeks, it took another person 8 years to see. Are you hear what I'm saying? Now, they didn't even say God spoke. They just said, some things are not clear. Are you getting me? You know, something happened one day. Pastor Henny looked at me and said, Pastor Henny said, see here. If Pastor David tells you, be careful. Be careful. I know there are people and pastors who have overstretched this to the point they now control people, micromanage people's lives. That's not what I'm talking about, because you have the Holy Spirit too. Are you with me? That's not what I'm talking about. The inward witness. So, let me define it. You know, we said the inward witness is the most accurate way God leads after the written word. What is the inward witness? The inner witness or the inward witness is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. The inward witness is the inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things to their very nature. I'm going to say it again. Don't worry. What is the inward witness? The inward witness or the inner witness is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things to their very nature. Let me read it one more time. The inward witness is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things to their very nature. Let me tell you something. A church is not a club. We have a very serious spiritual assignment. And I'm conscious of that. I'm very conscious of that. If you master the things I'm sharing with you, it will shape your destiny. It will shape the way it will shape your future. You will know. By the time you get to where you are, you know, truly, I was shaped properly. I'm not trying to brag, but in the past years of my life and ministry, people who have drank what I'm teaching properly, you will know. No. But by the time you see the way your life plays out, you say, oh, truly, I was shaped. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A certain man of God. Now, I'm using man of God for examples for one major reason. When it comes to leading of the Spirit, never assume you have mastered it. When it comes to it, you must always have a humble heart to check what is God saying. Your spirit man must be like me. I know they guess, so I don't do guesswork. The other day, I was trying to write out the number of confirmations God has given me for Abuja. They almost came up more than 35. I'm telling you. But guess what? I'm still listening. Are you following me? People who work on my flights, they have seen something in my hand. Because I can be praying like this. And usually, sometimes, life is like that. somebody can decide, I will help you now. On your way going, you say, I will not help him again. So you need to know a God that knows the secrets of men's hearts and know what they can do when they after giving you their word. Are you with me? Oh, I've seen it many times. I've seen it many times. Tell your neighbor, don't assume. So, the story I want to talk about was the man of God. This one, I will not mention his name because this one is very tragic. Very tragic. Had a conference in South Africa. On the day of the conference, sat up in his house with his leaders and asked them a question. Must I go for the conference? Everybody said, sir, posters are everywhere. Flyers are everywhere. But he will sit down. He said, should we go? You know what? You are not going. We will go. Back and forth for 1 hour. At the point, he said, we are going. Enter the flight. They have almost reached. Pilot said something happened to the engine. Vroom. Private jet. That's her, him. And the entire leadership of that ministry was wiped out in one day. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. So what did we say the inward witness is? It's an inability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things to their very nature. Now, let me add this one. Through this knowledge, you can assess God's inner testimony about people, places, or things. Through this knowledge, you can assess God's inner testimony about people, places, or things. Shall I come again? Okay. So we first of all said, the inward witness is the most accurate way God leads after the written word. Then we said the inward witness is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or the superficial outlook of things to their very nature. Then we said, through this knowledge, you can assess God's inner testimony about people, places, or things. Now, quickly, why is the inward witness the most accurate way God leads after the written word? Why is the inward witness the most accurate way God leads after the written word? It is because the inward witness is the result of the oneness that our spirit has with the spirit of Christ. Let me tell you, if you understand what I'm saying, you discover that inward witness happens to you every day, every season. For instance, right now, let me not use that word if. For some of you, this season, God is asking you to pray and fast. That's also inward witness. So, are you with me? It's also inward witness. Pray and fast. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to take lightly. Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, it's not something to take lightly. See, so much happens in the spirit every day. Are you with me? So much happens. Instructions are given to the sun and the moon. He said, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. For the sun to smite and the moon to smite, that means they were given instructions. People that don't understand inward witness, they'll be wondering. When you have the inward witness, you will know that sometimes it's time to fight. Sometimes it's not time to fight, it's time to run. Are you with me? You will know when it's time to shout and when it's time to pretend like you did not see anything. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of Christ becomes one with our human spirit after we get born again. So, because the Holy Spirit has become one with our spirit after we get born again, the inward witness becomes the most accurate way God leads after the written word. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, verse 27. I remember 2020. We had a program in Abuja. Then there was no church, but we had a program. And the program was supposed to be on the 20th of October. And I was praying, preparing for the program. I stood up and called the person helping me organize. I said, no, we will not have that program on the 20th any longer. We're going to have it on the 14th. So we shifted the date. Shifted it. He was like, what happened? Now, even me that shifted the date, I did not know what happened. But I knew the spirit was saying, shift it now. We shifted it. Guess what? That day was when the N-Star process started. The place we are going to use, they had surrounded that place. Oh my God. Interestingly, we are in a protest again too. So this period is, the way today was from morning to night is giving me lockdown vibes. Father, we thank you for Nigeria. You will prevail in Nigeria. Proverbs 20 verse 27, what does it read? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. My emphasis here is, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So, if the spirit of man is God's candle, what is the light on that candle? The Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So, you can have a candle. If it does not have light, it's a useless candle. So everybody, every human being has a spirit. Only those with the Holy Spirit in their spirits have a candle with light. Are you with me? Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, it says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Glory! He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So that means when you get born again, your spirit man and the Holy Spirit becomes mixed together and becomes one spirit. I wish I brought two cups to demonstrate what I wanted to demonstrate right now. Have you poured Coke inside Sprite before? Who has tried that thing? Those days. Or mixed Fanta and Coke. When... Thank God you have stopped. When you mix a cup of Fanta with a cup of Coke, do you get two drinks? It becomes one drink, Coca Fanta. It becomes one. In the same way, he's telling you, when the Holy Ghost and your spirit, the Holy Spirit and your spirit comes together, it becomes one. And because they are one now, anything the Holy Spirit picks, your spirit will feel it. Are you with me? Anything the Holy Ghost has as a thought, your spirit man will pick it. If the Holy Ghost is angry, your spirit man will feel it. If the Holy Ghost is happy, your spirit man will feel it. If the Holy Ghost is saying, move, are you with me? Oh, which example will I give? Okay, let me give the usual one I give. If you are in a car and you are not the one driving the car, but you are seated in the car and the car is climbing a slope, you will feel like you are going up, right? But you know, actually, you're not the one going up. It was the car that is going up. But because you are in the car, whatever the car is experiencing, you will also experience, right? If the car climbs a speed breaker or a speed brake and it makes that boom, I don't like those stuff. I like to just... Don't slow down my speed, man. But if you get to a speed breaker and you have to climb the speed brake, you will feel it because you are in the car. In the same way, because you are one with the Holy Spirit, whatever he experiences, if he meets an obstacle somewhere, you will feel it. Are you getting me? That's why it's the most accurate way. God leads after the written word. Listen, don't joke with your inward witness. So. The reason why I'm starting from here, first of all, we began from the written word. Now, yesterday, when we emphasized the written word, that means anything that directly contradicts the written word is not God's leading for you. Are you with me? So anything that contradicts the written word and contradicts your inward witness, no matter how spectacular it is not God's leading for you. Are you following me? There is a reason why we are taking it the way we are taking it. We have not even gotten to inward voice. We have not gotten to visions, dreams, trances. We have not gotten to signs and symbols. This is important too. Very important. If it contradicts the written word, it cannot be God's leading. If it contradicts the written word and the inward witness, it cannot be God's leading. Are you with me? Because if you hear bleeding people have had in the name of leading, God is leading me. If you don't learn it properly, you can scatter your life and blame God. And God will be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've seen a married man say God is leading him to marry another wife. And by the time he shares his dreams with you, if you're not careful, you agree. Are you following this? I've seen a lady, you know, something happened one time to me. It was a sister we prayed for. We prayed for the family. The husband got a job. Something happened. Open doors like that. So she called her friend. Her friend was in a deep situation, quote unquote, a deep situation. So they called the friend. She called the friend and said, don't worry, I will tell my pastor to pray for you. And when he prays for you, something will happen. So when they told me about this, that there is somebody going through a deep situation, when they mentioned it, I said, I wanted to pray in the name of Jesus. I just had this decision. Calm down first. Calm down. This situation. Find out about the situation. So I called the lady that referred her friend. Because the lady was messaging me, "Pastor, won't you pray for me? Won't you pray for me? Ah, don't you have my time?" I was like, "Calm down, I'm coming." So I called her friend and said, let's talk. This is your friend. What does she want? By the time I probed and probed, it came out that she went to a native doctor that gave her charms. She used the charm on a certain man that she works with in the office. The man left his wife and two children and relocated and started staying with her. Listen. He left his wife and children and moved in with you and became your husband for 2 years. One day, the charm broke. The man woke up like this and said, "What am I doing here?" Maybe that woman has gone to fast and pray, and God intervened and broke that charm. The man woke up in the morning and said, "Who are you? Where's my wife? Where are my children?" She was shaking. Now they called me to restore the charm. That was the prayer that I will restore. That was the deep problem. Because now, this man had set her up. They had started living in one nice bedroom flat. He was paying everything. And now, she didn't want to go back to square zero. And so, Pastor, renew the charm. Why didn't you go back to the native doctor? I said, if I pray, they will arrest you. The man moved to another state. The man ran back, started looking for his family, looking. So the written word, the inward witness. Sometimes the written word, the inward witness. I've seen things, so I see visions. Thank God, God established me like this, because it is by visions. I see visions every day. I've seen strange visions that if I did not have the balance of the written word and the inward witness, by now I would have been the next. Let me not call any name. I would have been a false prophet. Oh God. Oh Jesus. And sometimes, because of the way the spirit realm is shaped, if you are not careful, you make those mistakes. If you are not trained in the basics, by the time you get to the superlative way the spirit of God leads, you'll be confused. Say after me, the written word, the inward witness. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16. "The spirit himself," better put himself, but King James says itself. "The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Are you seeing this? So the way the Holy Spirit makes you know, the way the inward witness works, is that it does what is called witness. Say after me, witness. What is a witness? Let me use the normal local parlance of witness. If someone is at a place and there is an outbreak of fire, or there is a riot and they break things and scatter things, it shall not happen in the name of Jesus in this protest. And the police came and said, "What's happening here?" And they catch some people and they bring them to the police station. They say, "You are a witness to what was happening there. Can you testify what happened?" So the person starts saying, as at 2:30 p.m., some group of boys came. So because the person has a first-hand experience of that thing, he can be a witness to people who were not there. Are you following me? Are you following me? So when the Bible says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, is this. You are here. You say, "Oh God, I believe in you. I trust you for salvation." You are not in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is in heaven, who saw that when you made that prayer, your name was recorded there. He's a witness. Do you understand it? As a witness of that happening in heaven, he comes to your heart and says, true, you'll be child of God. Because I was there. Are you following this? I was there when the record was made. So the Holy Ghost coming to you is the witness that actually, when you believed, you were actually accepted in heaven. Are you following this? So now, that same Holy Spirit goes into the future, witnesses the future. and says, hey, if you go this path, there is problem. And comes to your presence in your heart. You want to make that step. So as a witness of what's happened in the future, it says, don't go. Do you understand that? It's after me, witness. Praise the Lord. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Do you understand that? So that means with the Spirit, I can never be stranded. I can never be stranded. Hallelujah. Spirit himself. Let me tell you something. I believe one of the biggest problems of Christians today is that they don't know how to flow with the Spirit of God. That's why we are spending time every day talking about the move of the Spirit back morning, night. I know what I'm doing. Because for so many, it is still a very far thing. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 10. Okay, before Acts chapter 10, please let's do Mark 5. Mark 5 verse 30. Now, what was happening in Mark chapter 5? Let's read from 29 to verse 13 to 31. There was a woman with the issue of blood. And that woman, the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she went and she said, but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the Bible says, and she touched the hem of his garment, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. When I read this verse, I was like, babao. Knowing him is, do you know what it means? That no wonder they were asking him. Everybody is thronging you. People are thronging you. You know, there is a difference between a throng and a touch. You see, Peter asked him, if you read it in Luke or John's gospel, where this story is repeated. He said, everybody is thronging you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you now, God. He said, who touched my clothes? Because he knew in himself, virtue left my left me. Aye. Now, why am I bringing up this verse? If you are going to master the inward witness, I think you may need to write this down. If you are going to master the inward witness, you must learn how to pay attention to the movements of God on your inside. Because some of you, God moves. Sometimes you are talking and you say something and you can feel the anger of the Holy Spirit. You just say something. You follow them and laugh. All these pastors, they be thieves, self. You follow them. Now, thief them, B.O. You say it like this and you feel the Holy Ghost. It smooths you inside. But no, you will continue. You will pretend like nothing happened. And just keep talking. You just keep talking. Are you with me? If you are going to master the leading of the Spirit or the inward witness, you have to pay attention to the movement of God on your inside. You must pay attention to the movement of God on your inside. You must pay attention to the movement of God on your inside. Shall I say it again? If you will master the inward witness or the leading of the spirits by the inward witness, you must learn to pay attention to the movement of God on your inside. So, you pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. You know, can I say this? Who remembers when we were praying for Abuja Believers Congress in January 2023? There was a particular service. Minister Peace was praying. Who remembers that service? Can I do the test I want to do? It was that day I started having a feeling that, the way this prayer is going like this, be like, God get on our plan. Because she started leading the prayer, and halfway into the prayer, I could sense when there was a shift in the spirit. So I asked myself, why is there such a shift over this meeting like this? As a spiritual man, You have to be a very, very sensitive person. Not in the sense of getting angry. You know, some people are very sensitive. Every small thing makes them vex. That's not what I'm talking about. You have to be a very observant person. When you are talking with somebody and suddenly you just started getting happy, find out why. When a certain idea is coming to your mind and you are just excited about the idea, find out why. You have to pay attention to the inner man. He says, he knowing in himself. You have to learn to pay attention to the inner man. Praise the Lord. So that day she was leading the prayer, and halfway in the prayer, it was as though I could sense a fire began to burn in the spirit. So I was like, why is this fire burning? Why? Why is there a fire regarding this prayer point? Now I understand why. I understand why. No, I understand it completely. Why? The fire of the Spirit. Why? So, you know, the Bible says, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descend and remain. This is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, right? When you see the Holy Ghost settle on a thing, you know that he's trying to tell you, I am here. I have plans here. I remember one time in Surulere, I was sitting with Pastor Jessica. Then, New Breed had not started. New Breed was... So, I was talking to her about ministry and the churches that God will use us to plant. As I was talking to her, I began to feel that move of the Spirit. That excited move of the Spirit. There. I knew that in this our discussion, we have tapped into something divine. So, I made sure I kept that paper. See, you know what I'm trying to do to you? I want to train you to be a spiritual man. You are talking with somebody and you cannot explain why there's just this shrink within you. The Holy Spirit is witnessing something. You are trying to force a friendship by force. You are trying to, but you feel like, you are trying to form like you are in, but you are not in. I remember a lady telling me about how she was dating a guy. They were dating for about 3 years. The day the guy brought ring to propose, fear gripped her. Not, oh, fear. Not, oh my God, are you serious? So you really meant it? No, he was dating you. Did not meant it before. I don't even understand it. You have been dating somebody for 5 years. He came to propose, you are surprised. Lie. Lie, they lied. You are surprised. Are you serious? No, he's not serious. They were playing with you since. That's why I like that one. They brought the ring. She said, thank you. I've been waiting. Give me. Put it in my hand. So all this way, if I nod you, why you no come since? Praise the Lord. She said, as he knelt down, it was as if, don't try this. Don't do this. If you accept this, fear gripped her. That's the inward witness. In fact, that one there was even more dramatic. Let me ask another question before I go to the book of Acts. How many of you have been at a season where you just feel like something good is coming? You cannot, you don't know what it is. You don't know how it's going to come, but you can just feel like something good is coming. That's also the inward witness. What do you do when you have that? Pray. Let me find out more. Pray. There's something else you need to do. Rejoice. When you just have that feeling that something good is coming, one of the ways to seize it in the spirit is called lambano. Rejoice. You collect it. So, the Spirit of God is telling you something great is coming. What do you do about it? So now, I want you to shout glory even though you are not feeling it. Join us. Shout glory! Shout glory! Shout glory! Yes. That's how you seize it. Many will say, I have near miracle syndrome. This is one of the cure. So you are praying, you are praying, you are praying, you are praying. You are almost there. Almost there. They did not have one bad dream. No. When it looks like you have had that pattern of near miracle syndrome, check the Bible. When the people of Israel were about to collect the cities, when they were about to enter, what did God tell them to do? Rejoice. Because if you don't rejoice that time, if you are waiting to see the victory before you rejoice, you may have lost it before that time. So you rejoice and collect it. In spite of all you are facing, it's called the sacrifice of praise. A praise that doesn't make sense, but you are doing it as a sacrifice. As we enter the sixth year, no more pampering the word. I will teach you prophetic straight. You will get it in Jesus' name. Okay, let's do Acts chapter 27. Okay. Anyway, we can stop. We'll stop. Acts 27. We see a very interesting story here. So, they were about to travel. And Paul saw that those guys want to travel. And he was a prisoner, so he could not talk. And so, we see Paul talk to them in verse 10. He says, and he said unto them, okay, let me read from verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and sheep, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the sheep more than those things which are spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. And since fair heavens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. It's clearer now, right? So they wanted to go to Phoenix. Phoenix was better than Fair Heavens. Verse 13. And when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. Verse 14. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster caught the ship and blew it to the sea. You know, NLT is fresh. If you read it in King James, the wind was called Rocklidon. That's what it reads in King James. Caught the ship and blew it out to sea. Verse 15. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Verse 16. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named... Please read on with me. I'm used to King James. This thing is... NLT is removing the real vibe of this thing. Read it in King James. You see that this thing was not a small thing. This is making you think it's boat. The way I read it in NLT, you just think it's a small boat. Okay, the tempest came and we're just throwing things out. If you read it in King James, King James says... And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Do you know what it means? That you are... Have you been on a ship before? Who has been on a ship before? Where you stand up, all your water. All your water. The only thing that makes you know that you are close to life is the stars. Sun. Then you don't see sun, you don't see star. Everywhere is black. Actually, if you read to the end, they were there for 14 days. They were lost. And Paul picked it, says, I perceive. I perceive. Now, as I round up, why is it that some people will perceive more than others? What is the difference? What makes the sensitivity of some higher or better than others? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Says, let me read from verse 11. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the spirit of God knoweth no man. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So he's saying that the spirit of a man is what knows the things of a man. And so the things of God knows the spirit of God. Are you with me? Remember what I explained to you about witness, right? It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then it says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are going to come back to this verse. Verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Serve them spiritually discerned. The reason why some people don't pick the inward witness is because of carnality. The reason why some Christians will not pick is because they are too natural. They are too... These things are is what the Holy Ghost teaches. You know, there is a way I will know you. A time will come when if I cut my eye like this for you, you know what it means. Are you with me? When you are... See, this is why we're able to pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Because many of these things, they are spiritually communicated. And so, I usually like to put it in a way you can relate to it. When we send text messages to you, if I send a text message to you, do I send it to your phone or to your SIM card? Do I send a text message to your phone or to your SIM card? If you say phone, raise your hand. Phone or SIM card? Your SIM card. But because your SIM card is inside your phone is one with your SIM card, as it were. So your phone is the receptacle whereby what is in your SIM card can be seen, right? Okay. Your spirit man and the Holy Ghost is one. When you get born again, do you get me? But if your spirit man is low spiritually, it can come to your spirit man, but you will not get it. Let me explain. Have you ever tried to call somebody and they said, the number you're trying to call is currently switched off. The number you're trying to call is currently switched off. Then you send a text message. Did he deliver? Yes. But the person cannot see it because the phone is dead. He switched off. Dead. Do you know what happens when people start praying in tongues? If they are not careful, it is leaders that they're supposed to have gotten 5 years ago, they will start getting. They will start dropping. Ah, my God. Let me give you an example. The Bible says, as the minister unto the Lord and fasted in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. The call had come since, but it was in the place of prayer that the text message dropped. Am I talking to people? You are doing yourself a great disadvantage when your spiritual life is down. Because if your spiritual battery is down, if God is giving you a leading you need to take now, you will not know. So, simple way you know that you are not where you ought to be spiritually. When last did the Holy Ghost lead you to do something that you don't have normally done? Okay, you woke up in the morning. What were the promptings that came for today? When last were you walking on the road and you just had a prompting to pray? Has that happened before? Those are signs that your spirit man is active. When last were you just on your own and a song just stirred up in your spirit to worship? If you are lacking those spiritual promptings like that, it means that, you know, if your phone is really on, you'll be getting alerts. You'll be getting updates. Two people have liked your photo. You'll be getting updates regularly. It's proof that your phone is alive. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You are so used to your phone that if it vibrates, you know whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. When you stay like this and after like 2 hours, no vibration, you will check. Are you sure this phone is alive or dead? In the same way, as a Christian, as a believer, how can you go 1 week, 2 weeks, no leading, no stir up to pray, no vision, nothing, no drive, nothing, no song. You woke up, the song that came to your mind is, "He don't cast." Just know that, take prayer and fasting. Don't eat this morning. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Stand up on your feet. Can't go on. Stand up on your feet. Were you blessed? Just begin to exalt his name. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him.